Chapter 2. The bullfight is not a sport in the Anglo-Saxon sense of the word. That is, it is not an equal contest or an attempt at an equal contest between a bull and a man. Rather, it is a tragedy. The death of the bull, which is played more or less well by the bull and the man involved, and in which there is danger for the man, but certain death for the animal. This danger to the man can be increased by the bullfighter at will in the measure in which he works close to the bull's horns. Keeping within the rules for bullfighting, on foot in a closed ring, formulated by years of experience, which, if known and followed, permit a man to perform certain actions with a bull without being caught by the bull's horns, the bullfighter may, by decreasing his distance from the bull's horns, depend more and more on his own reflexes and judgment of that distance to protect him from the points. This danger of goring, which the man creates voluntarily, can be changed to certainty of being caught and tossed by the bull if the man, through ignorance, slowness, torpidness, blind folly, or momentary grogginess, breaks any of these fundamental rules for the execution of the different suertes. Everything that is done by the man in the ring is called a suerte. It is the easiest term to use, as it is short. It means act, but the word act has, in English, a connotation of the theater that makes its use confusing. People seeing their first bullfight say, "But the bulls are so stupid. They always go for the cape and not for the man." The bull only goes for the percale of the cape or for the scarlet serge of the muleta if the man makes him and so handles the cloth that the bull sees it rather than the man. Therefore, to really start to see bullfights, a spectator should go to the noviadas, or apprentice fights. There, the bulls do not always go for the cloth, because the bullfighters are learning before your eyes the rules of bullfighting, and they do not always remember or know the proper terrain to take and how to keep the bull after the lure and away from the man. It is one thing to know the rules in principle, and another to remember them as they are needed when facing an animal that is seeking to kill you. And the spectator who wants to see men tossed and gored, rather than judge the manner in which the bulls are dominated, should go to a noviada before he sees a corrida de toros, or complete bullfight. It should be a good thing for him to see a noviada first anyway, if he wants to learn about technique, since the employment of knowledge that we call by that bastard name is always most visible in its imperfection. At a noviada, the spectator may see the mistakes of the bullfighters and the penalties that these mistakes carry. He will learn something, too, about the state of training, or lack of training, of the men, and the effect this has on their courage. One time in Madrid, I remember we went to a noviada in the middle of the summer on a very hot Sunday when everyone who could afford it had left the city for the beaches of the north or the mountains, and the bullfight was not advertised to start until 6 o'clock in the evening, to see 6 Tovar bulls killed by 3 aspirant matadors who have all since failed in their profession. We sat in the first row behind the wooden barrier, and when the first bull came out, it was clear that Domingo Hernando Rena, a short, thick-ankled, graceless Basque with a pale face who looked nervous and incompletely fed in a cheap-rented suit, if he was to kill this bull, would either make a fool of himself or be gored. Hernando Rena could not control the nervousness of his feet. He wanted to stand quietly and play the bull with the cape with a slow movement of his arms, but when he tried to stand still as the bull charged, his feet jumped away in short, nervous jerks. His feet were obviously not under his personal control, and his effort to be statuesque while his feet jittered him away out of danger was very funny to the crowd. It was funny to them because many of them knew that was how their own feet would behave if they saw the horns coming toward them. And as always, they resented anyone else being in there in the ring making money who had the same physical defects which barred them, the spectators, from that supposedly highly paid way of making a living. In their turn, the other two matadors were very fancy with the cape, and Hernando Reina's nervous jerking was even worse after their performance. He had not been in the ring with a bull for over a year, and he was altogether unable to control his nervousness. When the banderillas were in, and it was time to go out with the red cloth and the sword to prepare the bull for killing and to kill, the crowd, which had applauded ironically at every nervous move he had made, knew something very funny would happen. Below us, as he took the muleta and the sword and rinsed his mouth out with water, I could see the muscles of his cheeks twitching. The bull stood against the barrier watching him. Hernando Reyna could not trust his legs to carry him slowly toward the bull. He knew there was only one way he could stay in one place in the ring. He ran out toward the bull and 10 yards in front of him dropped to both knees on the sand. In that position, he was safe from ridicule. He spread the red cloth with his sword and jerked himself forward on his knees toward the bull. The bull was watching the man and the triangle of red cloth, his ears pointed, his eyes fixed, and Hernando Reyna kneed himself a yard closer and shook the cloth. The bull's tail rose, his head lowered, and he charged, and as he reached the man, Hernando Reyna rose solidly from his knees into the air, swung over like a bundle, his legs in all directions now, and then dropped to the ground. The bull looked for him, found a widespread moving cape held by another bullfighter instead, charged it, and Hernando Reyna stood up with sand on his white face and looked for his sword and the cloth. As he stood up, I saw the heavy, soiled gray silk of his rented trousers open cleanly and deeply to show the thigh bone from the hip almost to the knee. He saw it too and looked very surprised and put his hand on it, while people jumped over the barrier and ran toward him to carry him to the infirmary. The technical error that he had committed was in not keeping the red cloth of the muleta between himself and the bull until the charge, then at the moment of jurisdiction, as it is called, when the bull's lowered head reaches the cloth, swaying back while he held the cloth, spread by the stick and the sword, far enough forward so that the bull following it would be clear of his body. It was a simple technical error. That night at the cafe, I heard no word of sympathy for him. He was ignorant, he was torpid, and he was out of training. Why did he insist on being a bullfighter? Why did he go down on both knees? Because he was a coward, they said. The knees are for cowards. If he was a coward, why did he insist on being a bullfighter? There was no natural sympathy for uncontrollable nervousness because he was a paid public performer. It was preferable that he be gored rather than run from the bull. To be gored was honorable. They would have sympathized with him had he been caught in one of his nervous, uncontrollable, jerky retreats, which, although they mocked, they knew were from lack of training, rather than for him to have gone down on his knees. Because the hardest thing when frightened by the bull is to control the feet and let the bull come, and any attempt to control the feet was honorable, even though they jeered at it because it looked ridiculous. But when he went on both knees without the technique to fight from that position, the technique that Marcial Alanda, the most scientific of living bullfighters, has, and which alone makes that position honorable, then Hernando Reyna admitted his nervousness. To show his nervousness was not shameful, only to admit it. When, lacking the technique and thereby admitting his inability to control his feet, the matador went down on both knees before the bull, the crowd had no more sympathy with him than with a suicide. For myself, not being a bullfighter and being much interested in suicides, the problem was one of depiction. And waking in the night, I tried to remember what it was that seemed just out of my remembering, and that was the thing that I had really seen, and finally, remembering all around it, I got it. When he stood up, his face white and dirty, and the silk of his breeches opened from waist to knee, it was the dirtiness of the rented breeches, the dirtiness of his slit underwear, and the clean, clean, unbearably clean whiteness of the thigh bone that I had seen. And it was that which was important. At the noviatas, too, besides the study of technique and the consequences of its lack, You have a chance to learn about the manner of dealing with defective bulls, since bulls which cannot be used in a formal bullfight because of some obvious defect are killed in the apprentice fights. Nearly all bulls develop defects in the course of any fight which must be corrected by the bullfighter. But in the noviada, these defects, those of vision for instance, are many times obvious at the start, and so the manner of their correcting, or the result of their not being corrected, is apparent. The formal bullfight is a tragedy, not a sport, and the bull is certain to be killed. If the matador cannot kill him, and at the end of the allotted 15 minutes for the preparation and killing, the bull is led and herded out of the ring alive by steers to dishonor the killer, he must, by law, be killed in the corrals. It is 100-1 against the matador de toros, or formally invested bullfighter, being killed unless he is inexperienced, ignorant, out of training, or too old and heavy on his feet. But the matador, if he knows his profession, can increase the amount of the danger of death that he runs exactly as much as he wishes. He should, however, increase this danger within the rules provided for his protection. In other words, it is to his credit if he does something that he knows how to do in a highly dangerous but still geometrically possible manner. It is to his discredit if he runs danger through ignorance, through disregard of the fundamental rules, through physical or mental slowness, or through blind folly. The matador must dominate the bulls by knowledge and science. In the measure in which this domination is accomplished with grace, will it be beautiful to watch. Strength is of little use to him except at the actual moment of killing. Once someone asked Rafael Gomez, El Gallo, nearing 50 years old, a gypsy, brother of José Gomez, Gallito, and the last living member of the great family of gypsy bullfighters of that name, what physical exercise he, Gallo, took to keep his strength up for bullfighting.
Strength, Gallo said. What do I want with strength, man? The bull weighs half a ton. Should I take exercises for strength to match him? Let the bull have this strength.
If the bulls were allowed to increase their knowledge as the bullfighter does, and if those bulls which are not killed in the allotted 15 minutes in the ring were not afterwards killed in the corrals but were allowed to be fought again, they would kill all the bullfighters if the bullfighters fought them according to the rules. Bullfighting is based on the fact that it is the first meeting between the wild animal and a dismounted man. This is the fundamental premise of modern bullfighting, that the bull has never been in the ring before. In the early days of bullfighting, bulls were allowed to be fought which had been in the ring before, and so many men were killed in the bull ring that on November 20, 1567, Pope Pius V issued a papal edict excommunicating all Christian princes who should permit bullfights in their countries and denying Christian burial to any person killed in the bull ring. The Church only agreed to tolerate bullfighting, which continued steadily in Spain in spite of the edict, when it was agreed that the bulls should only appear once in the ring. You would think, then, that it would make of bullfighting a true sport, rather than merely a tragic spectacle, if bulls that had been in the ring were allowed to reappear. I have seen such bulls fought, in violation of the law, in provincial towns and improvised arenas, made by blocking the entrances to the public square with piled-up carts in the illegal capeas, or town square bullfights, with used bulls. The aspirant bullfighters, who have no financial backing, get their first experience in capeas. It is a sport, a very savage and primitive sport, and for the most part a truly amateur one. I am afraid, however, due to the danger of death it involves, it would never have much success among the amateur sportsmen of America and England who play games. We, in games, are not fascinated by death, its nearness and its avoidance. We are fascinated by victory, and we replace the avoidance of death by the avoidance of defeat. It's a very nice symbolism, but it takes more cojones to be a sportsman when death is a closer party to the game. The bull in the capeas is rarely killed. This should appeal to sportsmen who are lovers of animals. The town is usually too poor to afford to pay for the killing of the bull, and none of the aspirant bullfighters has enough money to buy a sword, or he would not have chosen to serve his apprenticeship in the capeas. This would afford an opportunity for the man who is a wealthy sportsman, for he could afford to pay for the bull and buy himself a sword as well. However, due to the mechanics of a bull's mental development, the used bull does not make a brilliant spectacle. After his first charge or so, he will stand quite still and will only charge if he is certain of getting the man or boy who is tempting him with a cape. When there is a crowd and the bull charges into it, he will pick one man out and follow him, no matter how he may dodge, run, and twist, until he gets him and tosses him. If the tips of the bull's horns have been blunted, this chasing and tossing is good fun to see for a little while. No one has to go in with the bull who does not want to, although, of course, many who want to very little go in to show their courage. It is very exciting for those who are down in the square. That is one test of a true amateur sport, whether it is more enjoyable to player than to spectator. As soon as it becomes enjoyable enough to the spectator for the charging of admission to be profitable, the sport contains the germ of professionalism. And the smallest evidence of coolness or composure brings immediate applause. But when the bull's horns are sharp-pointed, it is a disturbing spectacle. The men and boys try cape work with sacks, blouses, and old capes on the bull, just as they do when his horns have been blunted. The only difference is that when the bull catches them and tosses them, they are liable to come off the horn with wounds no local surgeon can cope with. One bull, which was a great favorite in the capeas of the province of Valencia, killed 16 men and boys and badly wounded over 60 in a career of 5 years. The people who go into these capeas do so sometimes as aspirant professionals to get free experience with bulls, but most often as amateurs, purely for sport, for the immediate excitement, and it is very great excitement, and for the retrospective pleasure of having shown their contempt for death on a hot day in their own town square. Many go in from pride, hoping that they will be brave. Many find they are not brave at all, but at least they went in. There's absolutely nothing for them to gain except the inner satisfaction of having been in the ring with a bull, itself a thing that anyone who has done it will always remember. It is a strange feeling to have an animal come toward you consciously seeking to kill you. His eyes open, looking at you, and see the oncoming of the lowered horn that he intends to kill you with. It gives enough of a sensation so that there are always men willing to go into the capeas for the pride of having experienced it and the pleasure of having tried some bullfighting maneuver with the real bull, although the actual pleasure at the time may not be great. Sometimes the bull is killed if the town has the money to afford it, or if the populace gets out of control, everyone swarming on him at once with knives, daggers, butcher knives, and rocks. A man perhaps between his horns being swung up and down, another flying through the air, surely several holding his tail, a swarm of choppers, thrusters, and stabbers pushing into him, laying on him or cutting up at him until he sways and goes down. All amateur or group killing is a very barbarous, messy, though exciting business, and is a long way from the ritual of the formal bullfight. The bull, which killed the 16 and wounded the 60, was killed in a very odd way. One of those he had killed was a gypsy boy of about 14. Afterwards, the boy's brother and sister followed the bull around, hoping perhaps to have a chance to assassinate him when he was loaded in his cage after a capea. That was difficult, since, being a very highly valued performer, the bull was carefully taken care of. They followed him around for 2 years, not attempting anything, simply turning up wherever the bull was used. When the capeas were again abolished, they were always being abolished and re-abolished by government order, the bull's owner decided to send him to the slaughterhouse in Valencia, for the bull was getting on in years anyway. The two gypsies were at the slaughterhouse, and the young man asked permission, since the bull had killed his brother, to kill the bull. This was granted, and he started in by digging out both the bull's eyes while the bull was in his cage and spitting carefully into the sockets. Then, after killing him by severing the spinal marrow between the neck vertebrae with a dagger, he experienced some difficulty in this, he asked permission to cut off the bull's testicles, which, being granted, he and his sister built a small fire at the edge of the dusty street outside the slaughterhouse and roasted the two glands on sticks, and when they were done, ate them. Then they turned their backs on the slaughterhouse and went away along the road and out of town.